The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by you, maybe? We're seeking sponsors to support our mission to share the stories, passions, and personalities of the people shaping Boulder's unique tech scene. If you'd like to be part of this project and reach a growing and enthusiastic audience, shout at us via Twitter at Boulder Tech Cast or send me a note at joel@conduitmusic.co. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. I like to talk to the movers, shakers, and makers influencing the exciting tech scene thriving in Boulder and across Colorado's Front Range. There is a lot going on here. Our guest for this episode, our 22nd, is Bing Chu, Managing Director at Mojo Tech, a Boulder-based software development and design consultancy. Bing is also active in building relationships between Boulder's tech community and the city. Bing and I discuss a number of subjects, including the roots of his sense of activism and philanthropy, how the tech community might be misunderstood by Boulder's non-tech populace, increased involvement among younger demographics in Boulder politics, and maintaining Boulder's unique character in the face of rapid growth. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Bing Chu. In your bio, you state that you like to learn out loud. What do you mean by learning out loud?
All kinds of things, really. I mean, I say all kinds of dumb stuff from time to time as I learn about new things. And so thinking out loud or learning out loud is about trying new things and sorting it out as I go. So I'm an expert in nothing. But that's kind of the way I like it. I like the learning curve, if you will. So whether that's, tweeting out thoughts, writing an occasional blog post, showing up at events, whatever the case may be, I try and share my perspective, and sometimes those are kind of half-baked thoughts, but I guess that's what I mean by learning out loud. So,
and I take it that's been working for you because you've been doing a lot and come pretty far.
Yeah, I guess I've found some ways to participate in the community and to pursue interests, and I've really enjoyed that. So, yeah.
You grew up in Boston and went to school there also?
Yeah, so for folks that aren't familiar with Massachusetts, I'm from Boston. For folks from Massachusetts, I'm from a suburb called Lexington, which is a very different place than the city of Boston itself. But was born in Boston, grew up in that area, and moved out here, like many people, to give it a try. And you know, that was back in 2001, so Colorado is stuck for me.
So did you move here just like, I need a change, I hear Boulder's cool, I'm going to go check that out, or did you have a job, or did you just take
I had no job, no plan. So the way Boulder popped up on my radar was I had applied to exactly two MBA programs. University of Colorado was one of them, and was essentially ready to move out here for that program, but got an offer I couldn't refuse from a school right down the road from where I grew up. So went to that full-time program for 2 years, and when I graduated, economy was a little bit soft, job market was soft, and I thought, you know, now is the perfect time to move at the end of the graduate program. And so Boulder was still on my mind, packed up my car full of stuff, showed up out here, and just kind of sorted it out. And that's how I landed in Colorado.
Tell us about Mojo Tech. What does the company do, and what's your role there?
Yeah, so Mojo Tech, we're a consultancy, right? So clients hire us to design and build software when it really comes down to it. Web and mobile applications are our bread and butter. Quite a few different industries represented, quite a few different growth stages in terms of clients, from startups to really well-established brands that folks have heard of, and everything in between. So we're kind of industry and growth stage agnostic. But we like to solve problems for our clients. So that's what we do.
Is there a higher good approach to how you select your clients? Is there anyone that's come to you and sure, you could have done the work and it would be great money, but it just didn't feel like a right fit and so you said no? Or is it more just straight business?
Yeah, it's certainly not just straight business. So we're very fortunate to be in a position as a company to evaluate some of the things that you just mentioned. And so things that we care about are, will we really be in a position to put our clients in a position themselves to be successful, right? That's at least from my perspective, what we're really trying to evaluate when we're talking to prospective clients. So again, you know, the industry doesn't matter so much to us. The growth stage doesn't matter so much to us. It's, do you have a problem that we think we're well positioned to solve? And so not only is that building software for them, but oftentimes it's helping them improve process, helping them build teams of their own, things of that nature. And so we try and solve kind of more strategic problems, if you will, and building software is the vehicle by which we do that.
Any success stories or anything that Mojotech has done that listeners might be, oh, yeah, that's cool, I know about that?
Yeah, so in terms of folks that are local here in Colorado, there are probably a couple of startups that are worth mentioning. I'll mention Tapcat. They're near and dear to my heart. So they're based out of Gun Barrel. The founders of the company are serial entrepreneurs, so they know how to start and build businesses. But Tapcat is their first software company. And so that was an area where they identified, we're not experts in it, and so let's bring in experts. And that's when Mojotech's phone rang. So we've been working with them over the course of a little over 2 years now. We are their product team, so we designed and built the software. And the thing that I love most about Tapcat, above and beyond the fact that they're right down the road from us, is what they've created is a platform for nonprofits to fundraise. So obviously there are a lot of different options that a nonprofit has to go about fundraising. And Tapcat offers an option where you can set up a drawing with a prize. Maybe it's something like an experience, or it might be something like a fancy car or something along those lines. And donors have a chance to win that prize based on their donation. And so it's very easy for a nonprofit to sign up with Tapcat and create a fundraising drawing. And I've had the opportunity to work with some local nonprofits, which is also really nice as well. And we've seen over $1 million raised through that platform for a variety of nonprofits all across the country. So that's definitely one worth mentioning, at least from my point of view.
That's really cool. And I was going to ask you about that because I know you're on the board of the Humane Society of Boulder Valley.
Yeah, that's
right. And so have you used Tapcat in your fundraising for that organization?
No, not for HSBV. And I also happen to be associated with the Downtown Boulder Partnership, also a nonprofit. It's a business organization. So I have made some introductions between those organizations, but then I step out of the way. And so the short answer is no.
A lot of your blog posts and activities not directly connected to your actual tech work involve philanthropy, community building, and in general, just trying to help. Where is that drive to pitch in rooted?
Yeah, it's a good question. Having been raised on the East Coast, I still think of myself as an East Coast personality. And so when I first moved out here, Joel, I kind of had the attitude, I've got enough friends, I don't need to make a whole lot more. And I'm a pretty introverted guy when it really comes down to it. But I've had a variety of people in the community really welcome me. I was an outsider looking in, say, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago in terms of the technology and startup community here. Started showing up at a few events. Boulder Open Coffee was one of them. And I had total strangers just walk up to me, introduce themselves, and kind of break the ice, something I'm not good at doing. And so I just wanted to pay it forward. And there's very much a culture of that here. And I'm one of many who are practicing that.
And where do you think that culture of paying it forward that seems so endemic in the startup and tech community, where do you think that comes from?
Man, I'm really not sure, to be totally honest.
And do you think that's unique to Boulder's tech community? I mean, is that just a thing across the entire tech community? You're going to find that in Silicon Valley and Boston and New York, et cetera, as well.
My point of view on that, Joel, is I think in the Boulder community, it really stands out. Having moderated Boulder Open Coffee and Denver Open Coffee over the course of several years, we've actually had quite a few visitors from out of town show up at that event. And oftentimes what they're doing is trying to find out what's in the water in Boulder and what's in the water in Denver that kind of creates this this energy and this collaboration. So I take that as a sign that that's not the case everywhere else. And having traveled to a few other startup communities, my experience has kind of reflected that. That doesn't mean that people aren't collaborating in Silicon Valley and elsewhere. I think there are just smaller pockets of it. Here, it's for most folks that are introduced to the technology and startup community, it's really obvious right out of the gate that, hey, you know, you can be introduced around very quickly. Folks really want to see you succeed and will offer their help as opposed to just waiting for somebody to raise their hand or to reach out. So I don't think it's unique to Boulder, but it's very front and center here.
It's something that as someone who's sort of in the, I mean, I'm not a tech guy. I don't know anything about code or anything like that, but I've been sort of welcomed into the community. I've started doing this podcast. I've recorded over 20 interviews, and it's across the board. Everyone talks about the openness of it and just the way people have helped me even, you know, meet you and meet a few other people that I'm interviewing. It's a pretty remarkable thing. And
It feels good. I hadn't experienced it before I moved out here, and I really started to embrace it and kind of just got caught up in that energy and wanted to give back in some way. And I really enjoy it. I think that's really the core of it, Joel, is at the end of the day, I love meeting new people, even though, again, I'm kind of naturally an introvert, but I'm able to kind of work through that and meet folks like yourself and all kinds of other people around town that are doing interesting things. I think that's a big part of it.
I want to talk to you about the tech community's place in Boulder.
Sure.
Because you've written a lot about that on your blog, and I see that that's something that interests and concerns you. And so this next question has a bit of a wind-up to it, but a few years back, you blogged about the Boulder Chamber of Commerce's need to understand relationships versus memberships. And a reader commented under that post that the chamber was not supportive of the startup community. And then chamber president and CEO John Taylor responded that the chamber actually does support the startup community by, quote, aggressively addressing a number of issues that startup businesses tell us are important to them, such as affordable housing options and convenient commuting options. We also work on a number of fronts to support endeavors that directly impact individual business success, such as identifying suitable commercial office space for growing companies and supporting incentives for them to thrive in our community. My question isn't so much about whether the chamber has addressed those issues or is supporting the startup community, but what kind of progress you think that Boulder as a city community has made on those fronts, housing and transportation, especially in the last 3 years.
So these are very tricky issues, as you might imagine, right? And ones that folks in Boulder, and when I say folks in Boulder, I mean people that live in the city of Boulder, as well as folks like myself who live elsewhere but spend an awful lot of time here, whether it's for work or community-facing events or whatever the case may be. Everybody's very passionate about these topics, and so I think there's been quite a bit that's been put out there in terms of energy and perspective along these lines, right? So look, from my point of view, I think organizations like the Downtown Boulder Partnership, the Boulder Chamber, these are both business organizations that historically have served what many would consider kind of traditional businesses, whether that be retail, food and beverage, hospitality generally, things of that nature. And then you suddenly, or from the perspective of a lot of folks, suddenly have a lot of technology companies starting to pop up around town. I think there's kind of a natural adjustment and learning process that needs to happen. And so from my point of view, sure, it's going to take some time for organizations like the Chamber to understand the needs of startup and technology businesses, to bring folks into the fold, to be part of those conversations. And I happen to have spent some time with John Taylor. I used to work at the Chamber, and so I'm familiar with the organization, both as an insider and an outsider. And the effort is there, and I think they're trying very hard to understand how they can better support startup and technology folks. But when you really think about it, Joel, right, most of the startup and technology entrepreneurs, at least that I know, they're pretty independent thinkers. They're folks who don't wait for permission to go do things. They're folks who aren't necessarily taking advantage of kind of what I would consider traditional resources like the chamber, et cetera. So do startup and technology businesses need the chamber, need the Downtown Boulder Partnership? Well, I'll leave that up to every entrepreneur to decide on their own. But from my point of view, as a guy who's always considered himself a business generalist, there are certain things that are universal among businesses. And I think the chamber and Downtown Boulder Partnership are able to support those. It's the areas where they're a little bit different. And I think that's where people really focus their attention and energy is, how their business is different as opposed to has commonalities among other businesses that cause folks to think, hey, you know, I don't think the chamber is the organization for us or whatever the case may be. So I think a lot of it is just there needs to be a learning period, and we're going through that right now.
Do you think the startup community is misunderstood by the Boulder long-timers / non-tech community?
Yeah, I think to some degree that's the case. You know, again, what is unfamiliar or shiny and new oftentimes can make people a little nervous or cautious is probably the better word for it. So yeah, I think there's some misunderstanding there. And because the startup and technology community doesn't have a hierarchy, there isn't a single person that is out there representing us, it leaves a lot of room for folks to just kind of assume certain things about who we are, what we do, what we care about, things of that nature. So I think there's just kind of a natural, we're not quite sure what's happening with those young startup folks. That happens quite a bit.
Right. As someone who's lived in Boulder a long time, it's just interesting to me to see how it all shakes out and the relationship between the tech community and the city, because a lot of people point to the tech community and say, oh, you're ruining Boulder. And I don't think that's fair at all. The tech community is here. It's doing a lot of good things for Boulder. It's keeping the economy going. And it brings a lot of benefit, but it also brings a lot of change. And I know that's shocking to a lot of people who have lived here a long time. But this brings me to my next question, which also has kind of a long intro. But back in 2015, Becky Boone, who was working for the city at the time, ignited, see what I did there, a bit of a firestorm with her Ignite talk, prodding the startup community to get more involved with local politics. She didn't advocate a position. She didn't endorse anyone or a particular side. She just said, get involved. The talk was criticized by people who weren't there that night as inappropriate for a city employee and even vulgar because she dropped a few F-bombs, and ultimately it led to Becky losing her job. I was there that night, and like most of the people in attendance, found her talk to be on the money and quite inspiring, and it gave me hope that a breath of fresh and younger air would be injected into local politics. Fast forward to 2017. There are several candidates on the council ballot whose views could be characterized as more aligned with a representative of the startup community and the less entrenched Boulder populace, renters, and people under the age of 40 in particular. Most of those candidates lost. That indicates to me that the level of involvement is not where it needs to be for the community to have more influence on decision-making in Boulder. And what are your thoughts on that? Is there more involvement in the startup community in terms of local politics than it appears?
I think we're probably in the early stages of seeing some organization within the startup and technology community here locally. So I would agree with your assessment in terms of in 2015, when Becky was kind of the center of attention, that might have been a catalyst for some folks to rally around. And I think the results haven't shown that. That being said, there are some folks that are, I think, slowly but surely kind of priming the pump, if you will, to get more folks to take action. And by the way, you know, and I'm sure this is something that's becoming a bit cliche at this point, but it's cliche for a reason. An easy way to affect the outcome is to go and exercise your right to vote. So please do that. I think in order for us to see the change, you've got to put the appropriate people in positions to do that. And city council members here in the city of Boulder are the folks that can probably affect the most change that you want to see. So go out and vote for the appropriate candidates. Like I said, I think there are a lot of positive signs. There are folks who are putting time and energy behind rallying startup and technology folks. In some cases, they're taking very specific positions. In others, they're doing something more general and just saying, please exercise your right to vote. And so I'm probably more in the please go exercise your right to vote camp. I've got plenty of opinions and perspective on what's happening here in the city, but I'd love for other folks to get involved in whatever way they see fit. So
it's interesting reading your blog and going back a few years, and it's very sort of big picture and community oriented and talking about the city politics, a lot of the things we've already addressed. And then, but your more recent posts have addressed your efforts to write more. You talk about karma and meditation. Right, it's more It's yeah. more personal.
Yeah.
A more introspective bent. How has this informed your more collaborative, community-based efforts, this introspection? Have you gained new insights or strategies for accomplishing your various objectives?
Man, I'd love to say yes, because that sounds so smart. But that's not the case. Honestly, Joel, writing for me has been a very on-again, off-again type of a process. And so when I wrote about more kind of community-facing topics, I felt like I was adding value in some way, or I was hoping that I would add value to conversations that were already happening by writing. But in order to do so, I held myself to, at least internally, what felt like a high standard. And I would get writer's block all the time because I was afraid to just kind of put something out there. So the more recent writing that I've done has been focused on more personal topics, because it's easier for me to write about in many ways. There's no research involved, right? It can be a little bit more stream of consciousness. And so I think that's a reflection of my desire to write and my recognition that, hey, if I'm going to be such a harsh critic of my own writing the way I used to be, I will never publish anything. And so oftentimes if a topic comes to mind, I'll just vomit some words up on a page, publish it, and move on. And so I think you'll see more recent posts are, yeah, there's a wider variety of topics, and they're generally fairly short and just kind of quick thoughts.
More than once in your writing, you mentioned your morning routine. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's definitely been a work in progress, but it has helped me quite a bit in terms of just feeling more productive. And productivity, for whatever reason, has been, I'll almost put it in the category of an obsession. I spent a fair amount of time putting routines into place, reading about routines, right? What works for other people, and have kind of experimented for myself. But for me, I'm an early riser, so today was a typical start for me. Dogs woke me up at 4:30, somewhere in that window. We go for a morning walk, have a cup of coffee. I exercise in the morning 5 days a week. Today was an off day, thankfully. I journal on a daily basis, squeeze in a meditation, a short one. And it really just helps kind of set the table for the day. I used to just be very, very reactive. Very thankful to be in a position now where I can actually spend a few minutes each day thinking about, hey, what do I really need to get done? What do I really want to get done? And make sure that those things are addressed. As a result, I'm putting out less fires because I'm being a bit more proactive. And I'm the kind of guy that is very difficult to work with, to live with when I'm stressed. And so a lot of my focus in terms of morning routine has been, how do I kind of get ahead of that stress curve? How do I make sure that I'm not in that kind of reactive and not very fun to be around state for the rest of the day for the sake of my daughter, my wife, my coworkers, and folks like you.
Have you always had this sense of self-discipline?
No. My kind of typical approach to things is let's just roll with it. By the same token, once I have a routine, I'm a creature of habit. So there's this kind of weird thing that happens for me where new habits are very, very hard for me to build. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've spent so much time trying to figure out how to build good habits. But once I have them, I don't really like changing them. So a lot of them have stuck, thankfully.
Well, as someone who is constantly seeking more self-discipline and usually not succeeding at that, but still trying. But I do find that writing, meditation, having that routine provides a stronger foundation from which you can then roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I totally agree with that. Yep, it's a great way to look at it.
Going back to Boulder, just one more question about that. How do you see Boulder balancing the population influx with the small town feel that so many associate with it? How do we keep Boulder as opposed to Boulder becoming Palo Alto or some just sort of generic sort of place? Is it too late? Has it already happened? Is it happening now?
From my point of view, it's not too late. It hasn't happened. To me, Boulder is still a unique place. And so in terms of kind of looking forward, Joel, in my mind, change will continue. But there are certain things that will keep Boulder. Folks who put in an awful lot of time and energy years ago, I think that will continue to pay dividends. So examples of that are, I mentioned I'm affiliated with the Downtown Boulder Partnership. I'm a board member. If you look way back at its history in the 70s, its predecessor was a group of folks who said, you know what, it might make sense to actually shut down part of Pearl Street and convert it from a road into a walking mall. At the time, it was something that was not common. This was not a common thing to have a walking mall in a city. You fast forward to today, and in my mind, Downtown Boulder, and in particular, the Pearl Street Walking Mall, is something that really is part of the character of this city, and I don't see that going away in my lifetime or my daughter's lifetime. So I think there are certain things that are already in place that will continue to keep Boulder, Boulder. And part of that also, Joel, is the folks that are passionate about Boulder. I think while not everybody sees eye to eye, those conversations will continue. And where there's commonality is we want Boulder to be a special place. Exactly what that looks like and how it manifests itself, sure, there are going to be disagreements, but I don't see the Boulder magic going away anytime soon, right? We've got things like height limits. We've got things like there's a certain amount of space within city limits that have more or less been maxed out. So I don't see this becoming a sprawling metropolis. Sure, I worry about things like is it affordable for folks to live here? Is it accessible? Things of that nature, but in my mind, those are solvable problems. We just need to start to sort out what those solutions look like.
Yeah, because of the way Boulder, the open space, and there is no more expansion happening. It's just going to be increased density. And I see that as kind of a plus if it allows a more diverse group of people to come here, more people to live here, but it's not going to be for everyone. Just because there's limited space and sure. The impact that has on the cost of living here.
Yeah.
But I was reading someone's an editorial recently in the Daily Camera. This was Zane Selvins, who's been sort of a flashpoint for conversation, let's say, in this town. But he made some very good points. And then in his last paragraph, he says, so yeah, totally, Boulder, 250,000 people, which would double the current population. I don't know. I think that freaks people out.
I think it freaks a lot of people out.
It freaked me out. I mean, I was reading the article. And I was like, yeah, totally. Yeah, this and that and that. Right. And then 250,000 people. How about let's just get to one from 125 to 150 and see how that feels.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think that some tempering of the message might be required there.
Yeah. The kind of out there perspectives. From my point of view, that is part of what makes Boulder, Boulder, right? We've got some folks that will kind of think in, for the lack of a better term, kind of practical terms, right? Going from that 125 to 150 as a for example, right? As opposed to doubling the number. But I think the value of folks like Zane is that he helps make Boulder, Boulder. There are folks that want to think big, that want to kind of make those leaps in all different types of directions. And from my point of view, while it's messy, while there are no kind of silver bullet type of solutions, man, I think that's why I get excited about investing time and energy into a place like Boulder, into a community like the startup and technology community here, because not everybody agrees, and because we're all trying to make this a better place. So
yeah. And you have to have perspectives like Zane's to just sort of stretch the boundaries of the conversation.
Right. Yep.
Last question, a two-parter, to borrow the title of one of your blog posts. What keeps you up at night?
Yeah.
And the second part, what allows you to fall back to sleep?
Yeah.
Or are the dogs on you by then?
Yeah. Well done, Joel. So I haven't had somebody ask that question of me. And so I haven't really spent any time thinking about it. So I'll do some learning out loud right now, if you will. I'm very thankful to say that there's not a whole lot that truly keeps me up at night these days. From a family perspective, I care about things like what does the future for the Chews look like? And professionally, there's not a whole lot that kind of keeps me up at night either. But what I'm passionate about, the things that I'm kind of focused on are You know, Mojo Tech is a company that's had success in Rhode Island and elsewhere. And, you know, we've had an office here in Colorado for 3-4 years now, but we're still kind of building our reputation and our brand. And so that's where a lot of my energy and focus is. And we're looking to grow our team. So we're looking to hire engineers and designers. And in a broader sense, in terms of the startup and technology community, where I spend lots of time and lots of energy, to me, again, it's not something that keeps me up at night, but something that I am very excited about is I've got a front row seat, as it sits right now, to what's next for this community, right? So if we think about when I first got involved 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, there was a lot of energy, particularly from folks around the country who were kind of curious, is Boulder going to be the next Silicon Valley? And I think most of us knew early on that that was not going to be the case, that that was the wrong question, really. Fast forward to today, and now we've got bigger and more established technology companies opening offices here. And so in my mind, there's kind of a next stage, if you will. The startup and technology community has matured quite a bit, all up and down the Front Range, all across Colorado more generally. And so as you've got these bigger companies establishing themselves there, I think the landscape changes a little bit in a positive way from my point of view. And so we'll start to see some of those spillover effects. Entrepreneurs coming out of Google, out of Twitter, out of Amazon, whatever the case may be. And maybe there's that kind of next wave of startups. I'm not sure, but we're getting ready to find out.
Anything you'd like to add about anything?
Man, no, this has been a blast having a chat with you, and really just honored to be among the guests that you've already spoken to.
Bing Chu, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Joel. Thank you.
That was Bing Chu, Managing Director of Mojo Tech. Learn more at mojotech.com. Read Bing's blog at virtuallybing.com. Follow him on Twitter at virtuallybing. The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for the Boulder Tech Podcast HQ, and to KGNU Community Radio for studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's ECCODEK. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@conduitmusic.co. Follow us on Twitter at Boulder TechCast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.